alley.
What sort of security hoops have you had to jump through to put our shows up in D.C. on this inaugural weekend? You had to load in today on Saturday before we perform tomorrow night because there's something else going on tomorrow afternoon, right?
That's right. Mrs. Obama and Hillary Clinton are having a luncheon in the ballroom tomorrow afternoon. So we can't get in there until 3 o'clock, and with a 7:30 show, it's going to be a pretty tight load-in. So we got the drops up, and the light's kind of focused today. I don't know if the luncheon will happen with our American flag backdrop in the background, which might be kind of fun.
Really? Okay. By the time we get in there, the ballroom will have that lovely new First Lady smell.
The presidential...
aura.
Aura. That's a good one. Yes.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, welcome, thanks for subscribing or for streaming or for downloading and listening on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 112, Happy New President! Barack Obama becomes America's 44th president this Tuesday, January 20th, and just by an incredibly lucky fluke of scheduling, we're here in Washington, D.C. to experience the craziness. It's been an historical weekend. We performed in Gettysburg on Friday, then we toured the battlefield and fantastic new visitors center, and then we drove down to Washington, D.C. It's only about an hour and a half drive. And on the drive, Reed Martin and Dominic Conti and I were reminiscing about all the previous times we've played D.C.
In 1994, when we were performing at the Kennedy Center for the first time, the White House 4th of July staff party invited the cast of Miss Saigon, who was performing in a different space at the Kennedy Center, to come and sing at the party, and the folks at the Kennedy Center were fond of us, and they said, hey, there's this really funny comedy troupe. They do a comic history of America. You should have them come and do something. And so for reasons unbeknownst to us, they agreed to it, and so we had all our families, and we called all our parents, and we did, I don't know, 15 minutes worth of the history of America on the White House lawn on the 4th of July.
That's right, backed up by the Reduced Shakespeare Company dancers, who were in reality the cast of Miss Saigon.
Yeah. And we got to shake President Clinton's hand.
And then the helicopter came down, and you grabbed onto the struts and flew off. So it was a good exit, too.
President Clinton came out onto the Truman balcony. He gave a this is not a day for speeches speech. Mm-hmm. and then he came out and mingled with the crowd. I believe he touched you, Reed, did he not?
He was President Clinton. I would have expected nothing else. No, there was just a fence, and everybody who was on the lawn who wanted to could go up to the fence, and he worked the line and shook all our hands, and Jane grabbed his hand and wouldn't let go. She said, Jane Martin, Reduced Shakespeare Company, performing at the Terrace Theater at the Kennedy Center, Complete History of America Bridge, I think you'd enjoy it. And he just sort of smiled and looked at her and then kept going.
And the Secret Service wrestled Jane to the ground.
Yes.
I remember when we had to get into their... this was, what year was it? It was 94, mm-hmm. 1994. But to get onto the White House grounds for this event, you had to go through security. So we all went through security. But you were brought your accordion. And the Secret Service didn't know what the hell to make of that.
Nobody knows what to make of an accordion. But, they had to open the case, and then they were looking at the thing. Did I have to play it a little or something?
Yeah, to make sure, yeah.
I think they wanted to make sure it really worked. Yeah, so that was weird. The other thing that's fun about D.C., the White House is a big thing, but in general, you get some interesting people coming to the shows. I mean, we've had General Colin Powell and his son and his wife. Secretary Riley, he was the Secretary of Education, came to see the show. We've had Newt Gingrich come to see the show. Newt Gingrich, we all lean to the left in our politics, and Newt Gingrich came to see the show, and we thought, and he couldn't have been nicer, much to our dismay. He was... He's the only famous person who ever waited for us to finish signing our autographs for everybody, so it was probably... He waited in the lobby, just kind of... nonchalantly for about 15 or 20 minutes, and they came up to us at the end and says, hey, I really love your act, and would you sign this to me and my wife, and I hope to see you again. He just couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, it was a great...
I just want to say one thing about his wife. Woo! Woo! Hubba, hubba!
Well, and yeah, he said, you guys got a great shtick going. And that was telling to me. You know, it's like one shtickmeister to another. I mean, I think politicians have their act as well. And he, even now, you know, he has to go on. He chooses to. He goes on talk shows and he spouts the line he chooses to spout. But I think, you know, I think a lot of it is an act for him. I mean, like it is for us. In the America show, there's the question and answer session. And it used to be conducted by just the three performers taking questions about American history from the audience. But now it's conducted by whatever a president or presidential candidate is prominent in the news who takes questions from the audience. But we've had two senators or former, one sitting senator and one former congressman come to the show and ask questions from the audience. One was Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan from New York, who came to see us in the Folger Theater. And the Folger Theater was vaguely Elizabethan. It's a very small, it has balconies, and everybody can see everybody else. And when Moynihan was there, it was a little bit like performing for the Queen of England, because nobody would laugh until they looked at Senator Moynihan first to see how he was responding, and then they would laugh. Based on his reaction. So we had to get his blessing first before the rest of the audience could react. So then, in the second act, when we got to the question and answer session, nobody would ask a question because everybody was so intimidated by, well, what was Senator Moynihan going to ask? And so I finally looked to the senator, and I said, would you like to ask a question, Senator? Yes, I would. We all went, boop. And I believe I shat myself just briefly, just a little. And he unfolded himself from the chair and he said, it's funny how that long, yes, I would, I'm sure, was a way to buy time to think of a question. Mm-hmm. But he said, what was...
It was, and I hadn't put this all together till this very second, but his question ties in to the thing we were just talking about. Why did Newt Gingrich write his doctoral... dissertation on education in the Belgian Congo?
Yes. Well, first of all, I said, well, Senator, first of all, I want to thank you for speaking directly into my cardboard microphone so everybody could hear you, which also bought you guys some time.
Yes, you don't get to be a senator without playing along. And then, it said it was a typo, actually, his thesis, because... what he likes to do is go to International House of Pancakes and get the Belgian combo, I think, which is the Belgian waffle with bacon and eggs.
So then, you know, however many years later, former Congressman Newt Gingrich comes to see us at the Kennedy Center, and it's a much bigger venue, so the audience is not as intimidated as much by him. So we get to the question and answer session, and it's Reed playing President Bush. Taking the questions from the audience, and I ran around the audience as I do, getting the questions from the audience, and I kept glancing at Gingrich to go, "You want in on this?" And he would demur. He goes, "No, I'm good." But then the guy right across the aisle from Gingrich raised his hand to ask a question, and his question was, "President Bush, if pro is the opposite of con, what is the opposite of progress?" And everybody
forgot about that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And then I looked across the aisle over at Gingrich, and he went, "All right, now I want in on this." And I forget the question that he asked, but it was fairly benign. Do you remember?
I can't remember. But then, didn't you follow up with a question to him?
No, we had a follow up. I wish I could say that this is spontaneous, a great moment of improvisation, but we had formulated it during intermission. You know, what would we do if? So then I asked President Bush the question. You know, President, you know, Bush, many politicians, once they leave office, they turn to writing. And when you leave office, will you write speculative historical fiction like Newt Gingrich, or a steamy lesbian romance like Lynn Cheney? And President Bush's response was, "I'm going to write a steamy lesbian romance with Newt Gingrich." And then we swiftly moved on because we weren't going to top that.
I'm Robert Siegel, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Always smart, often funny, and invariably brief.
Where can you see the RSC? Starting this week, our UK tour of the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, resumes at the Courtyard Theatre in Hereford on Tuesday night, the 20th, Inauguration Day, and continues in the Torch Theatre at Milford Haven on the 21st, going on to the Northcote Theatre in Exeter on the 22nd, at the Octagon Theatre in Yeovil on the 23rd, and the Code Hall Theatre in Bryanston on the 24th. Now, the Exeter show at the Northcote Theatre is sold out, technically. Now, but in our experience, we go to theatres and we're told that it's sold out, and we always see empty seats. So if you really are desperate, go, and if you see a sold out sign, come and check it out anyway. There's always people that don't show up. Sometimes theatres have standing room where you can get in. In our experience, you can almost always get in to a sold out show if you're really want to. So we hope to see you there. Now, this weekend, we're performing for the Presidential Youth Conference here in Washington, D.C. These are one-hour performances for a convention of high schoolers from all over the country, so they're not actually open to the public. And because all this is happening on Inauguration Weekend, security is incredibly tight. I talked to our office manager and also wardrobe and props goddess, Ali Bostad, about all the hoops she's having to jump through.
We did have to park on the lobby level because Secret Service, they're closing it tomorrow. So we were allowed to park there today.
They're closing the hotel?
They're closing the lobby level parking. Oh. And any sort of vehicle with tinted windows is being towed from anywhere near where we're performing or really in the Capitol.
And any cargo van,
any cargo
right?
Cargo van. So we're in a minivan, and we tried to rent a minivan, and the only one available was at Baltimore Airport, and it was $500 for 2 days. So Elaine, our stage manager, called her sister and said, can we borrow your car? So we have a minivan. It's a total mom car, but it'll be fun driving from the Hilton tomorrow night over to the Constitution Hall.
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll. And actually, the backstage area, there isn't much. It's about 2.5 feet deep. Mm-hmm. Behind the black curtain, the Black Traveler. So we've opened up panels in the wall, and the prop tables will mostly be in the presidential walkway, which is the walkway the president will go down. He speaks, whoever it is, mm-hmm. speaks at the Hilton frequently, uh-huh. and he has a special holding room, and his walkway with photos along of all the presidents, starting at George Washington, wow. and presidents and first ladies, and there are these two hooks on the wall where Mr. and Mrs. Obama will be very, very soon.
Are there going to be Secret Service crawling all over our sets and costumes?
I saw lots of people with little wires going up to their ears today in suits, yeah. wandering around. I know that there was a FedEx drop box in the lobby of the ballroom, and that's been removed. There's a sign about it on the wall. Oh. That's gone.
Yeah.
There were German Shepherds sniffing all sorts of stuff today.
Wow.
I had to sign several times to get our trunks out of storage. Uh-huh. I think they'd been gone through because they didn't look like I had packed them.
Oh.
And you know what our props look like?
Ratty, nasty. What the hell are these kinds of looking things?
Ratty, nasty. There's the knife through head gag from the Civil War, and there's a big mallet, and it just looked like someone else had been in there and possibly backed out slowly.
If President Obama takes the oath of office with a knife through his head, we're going to know he's been in our props.
We will know he's been in our props. Definitely.
And now back to Reed and I talking about our previous brushes with DC greatness.
Austin, was it the first time or the second time we were at the Kennedy Center that we met Michael Burton?
Oh, right. I think it was the very first summer we went to the Kennedy Center, summer of 94, because it's the first time they ever threw us an opening night party on the stage of the Terrace Theater.
The only time.
The only time. And we met a man named Michael Burton, who was the assistant to Vice President Al Gore's chief of staff.
And so he said, hey, you guys are really funny. I'm sure you get these offers all the time, but would you like a tour of the White House? And we said, well, no, we don't get these offers all the time. And yes, we would. And he was so nice and he was so gracious because we all didn't go at the same time. And it was also that summer where all of our families came out. So I think he ended up giving us, in different combinations, two or three tours over to the old executive office building. He showed us the desk where Richard Nixon's recording equipment had been stored, you know, with holes drilled in the drawer so the wires could go out. He showed us the traditional desk of the vice president where all these vice presidents going back, you know, 150 years had opened the main center drawer and signed their name as the vice president of the United States. And then one vice president had literally carved his name with a pocket knife. Only one vice president had done that. His name was Dan Quayle. And we got to go into the Oval Office, you know, just, you know, and wow, this is the place. So it was a personalized one-on-one tour of the White House with Al Gore's assistant chief of staff. It was really great. I remember the summer after that, a guy who I think was the chief of staff for the senator of from Arkansas, remember he gave us a tour of the House and Senate, so we got to see the Senate in session. He took us sort of, I call it backstage, I don't know what they call it, behind the scenes, you know, at the Capitol. So we got to use some of the transportation that the congressmen and senators used. We got to see Senator Jay Rockefeller up close, Senator Nancy Kassebaum.
Trent Lott.
We saw, and then he took us out to lunch. Traditionally, they have bean soup in the Senate cafeteria. So we went and had lunch in the Senate cafeteria and Senator Connie Mack from Florida was there, and it was just a fascinating day, and he was very gracious, and then he gave us the little flag pin that we could wear that we got the tour of the Capitol.
Of course, we see Bob Dole all the time because he lives there in the Watergate apartment complex, the famous Watergate apartment complex, which is right next to the Kennedy Center. So we'll see him in the coffee shop there all the time.
You know who else came to see the show, who I love to watch on TV all the time, is Chris Matthews of the political show Hardball. It turns out Chris Matthews' wife is the sister of my college roommate, Chip Cunningham. And so Chip Cunningham, when we were coming to D.C., says, oh, my sister, you know, she's a local news reporter. She's done nice coverage of us two or three times. And then one time she and Chris came to see the show, and he was nice and shook our hand afterwards.
That was great. Yeah, I'd like to go on Hardball, be yelled at by Chris Matthews. That would be fun.
Well, the other nice benefit that we've gotten from going to Washington, D.C. is that in the United States, National Public Radio, their headquarters are in Washington, D.C., and Robert Siegel, who is the host of the afternoon show, All Things Considered, had us on our first summer at the Kennedy Center in 1994, and they thought we were very funny, and they had us back on, I think, weekly while we were there doing a thing called the Reduced Shakespeare Round table, and that got us, we continue to be on NPR and all kinds of different shows with some frequency, from All Things Considered to Weekend Edition to Talk of the Nation, West Coast Live, and on and on and on. So that was a nice thing that happened from going to Washington, D.C., was getting us national radio exposure.
And when we went on Talk of the Nation, it was a live broadcast at the public radio convention that they were having in Washington, D.C. at that time. And Ray Suarez was the host, and we performed in and contributed to a panel on satire, political satire. And I got to sit next to my comedy alter ego and new senator from Minnesota, Senator Al Franken. And I was able to say shake his hand and say, it's a pleasure to meet you. It's so great. People always ask me if I'm you. And he looked at me, and he just gave me this warm kind of, go away. Just like, why are you talking to me?
What a guy.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. And even though you couldn't see us perform in D.C. last weekend, we're working on a way that you can hopefully still see us in D.C. last weekend. So stay tuned for that and keep checking our website for details. And send us your brushes with D.C. greatness via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also find us at facebook.com and at myspace.com/reducedshakespeare. You can also leave us a voice message using the microphone on your computer just by clicking the the RSE voicemail button on our podcast page. And if I ever figure it out, you can follow us at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, 44th President of the United States Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Bill and Vicky Benzel. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Robert Siegel and all of our friends at NPR, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 112 336ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Everybody is in such high spirits. It's nice to be in D.C. right now.
It really is cool. There is such a vibe around town. At the airport, on the metro, it's nutty, crazy fun.
There are lovely souvenirs in the local Walgreens. If you need a Obama shot glass, I know where you can find one.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.